Hi there. Welcome to The Preventable, the podcast giving you a seat at the table with conversations about the intersection of alcohol, drugs, and mental health in everyday lives. Take a seat and join us.
Welcome to The Preventable. With me today is a very esteemed guest, Dr. Hedva Barinholtz-Levy. She is a geriatric specialist pharmacist. Did I get that right? I even wrote it down.
You got it right. We pronounce it Levy, not Levy, Levy. But that's okay.
Nuts. All okay. Good. Do we need to rewind, or are we okay? Can we keep going?
We can keep going.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
Awesome. So a geriatric specialist pharmacist, what the heck is that?
It refers to a board certification. So I my training is a doctor of pharmacy degree, PharmD degree, which is what all pharmacists today graduate with. But I have board certification. So one is a geriatric pharmacist, and the other is as a pharmacotherapy specialist. But I focus on geriatrics with my practice.
So, ages ago, when I was in college, I did an internship at a nonprofit. I don't even know if it still exists, and it was called the Alliance for Aging Research. And they really were trying to encourage more doctors, MDs, specialists to go into geriatrics because they knew the population was aging, but it's also kind of an unsexy specialization, yeah. Right? Why is that?
Yeah. Well, with geriatrics, there's limited interest because it's an aging population. It's depressing sometimes, right? It's towards the later end of life. So there's invariably going to be death and dying as part of that care. I think it's not reimbursed maybe as high as some of these other specialties could be. So from the medical field perspective, that could be part of it. But it takes very special interest in healthcare to want to work with older adults. They are more complex. It's more challenging in many ways because of that. Someone in the youth earlier time of their life, they don't have many illnesses, or they're more straightforward illnesses. And it's easier to manage some of these conditions. But with older adults, it's complex. It can be depressing. It's more challenging.
Mm. And many times I would imagine you're not just working with the actual patient themselves, but also sort of the team of folks. Hopefully they have a team of folks, but who are also helping too.
Right. You're going to have family caregivers involved often. And if someone is losing their cognitive function, right, so it's harder to communicate with some of these older adults, and you need the family members and the support people around.
So were you always interested in the geriatric specialty?
I guess in a way I was. I didn't figure out pharmacy until I already got to college and heard about this PharmD thing and decided to go that route instead of medicine. But somewhere along my early years, it was my grandmother. And I saw her as someone who was living independently, but also struggling with her medications. And this was before I really got into pharmacy. And as I was graduating from the University of Michigan, go blue.
There you go.
Had to throw that in. I knew my geriatric interest, I guess, at that point. And I had read about a role model, a woman who in the Washington, D.C. area, who was doing geriatric practice pharmacy in the community setting. And that kind of set my eyes and passion to work with older adults in the community.
Now, when I think older adults and medicine, I think about the little plastic box that has Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Okay. I think it's a lot more than that, right? Or is that the starting point?
It's a good start. So when we think about older adults and medicine, we think about generally lots of medications, right? So polypharmacy is the big term for
polypharmacy.
That.
Polypharmacy.
And remembering to take the medications is huge, right? It's not, I always say it's not taking one medication is no, it's just as easy for an older adult to take one medication as it is for a younger person.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have 12 different medicines that you have to take and three times a day and some with food and some without, you get into problems. So that pill organizer needs to become a four times a day pill organizer and has to be big enough to hold the different tablets,
yeah,
right?
Because if you're pairing polypharmacy, so multiple tablets at different times a day, and then potentially you could be putting on top of that some cognitive decline, and maybe even some mental health struggles because of the cognitive decline, and sort of these like which comes first types of deals. Like my 97-year-old grandmother, I mean, never wanted to take her medicine, or thought she did and forgot. And it was a constant battle between my mom and my grandmother about, you know, did you take your meds? Well, yes, I did. Well, no, you didn't. I see they're sitting here. Well, I did, but no, you didn't, but I don't want to. And so that for the caregiver has to be, I mean, I saw it with my mom. I mean, it was heart-wrenching. So I would imagine you are working with the families quite a bit as well.
Yeah, often it is the adult children who will ask me to see mom or dad and review their medications. There's different approaches you can take. One is minimize medications as much as possible so we can avoid that fight.
Right.
But understanding what the medicines are for, sometimes there's just different tricks. It's challenging when you get into the combativeness, that emotional piece. Sometimes there's not easy answers. It's a lot of coaxing. It's a lot of getting into routine. But it depends on the individual patient. There's so many different reasons why people don't want to take a medication or might fight it. And you have to really tailor that approach.
And so before we got in here and started recording, you were talking to Patty, one of our board members, and you were really encouraging her with her mother to sort of seek out help from a pharmacist to say, what are we taking? Are these all working together? Are they contraindicating or are they working against each other? Why don't people come and talk to you? You know, there's the window. When you go to the pharmacy, right, there's the window. Like if you need help, are those windows underutilized?
I would say probably yes. Mm-hmm. Now, the model where I practice is non-traditional. We'll talk about that in a minute. Or a little bit, but in the community pharmacy, I don't want to say joke because it's not funny, but when you go to pick up your prescription, you'll have someone greet you, the salesperson, do you have any questions for the pharmacist?
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, how often is there eye contact when they even ask you that question?
Right.
And how many times do people say yes to that question? And I think that answer is not
I've
very
never
often.
Once said yes, right.
Right. So I challenge people, say yes. Even if it's a medicine you've been taking, just go over it again with the pharmacist. I see errors that you wouldn't even imagine where people haven't really read the label in a while because they've been taking it forever, and it's a different instruction. They're not taking it the way they should be taking it. Certainly when you get a new medication, we have so much knowledge, and I don't think people appreciate that knowledge. And that's what we were talking about that before. We have at least 6-7 years of training in pharmacy, and we are trained to communicate and help people understand their medications because it's so key that the patient, consumer, understands what to take, how to take it, and that they need to take it.
Speaking of experience, you've been in this field for over 25 years. And so you are releasing a book that's the culmination of your experience, life's work to this point. Talk a little bit about that. This is very exciting. Hot off the presses here, right?
It is. And right. And it's like, this is like
this
the
is
first time
deal.
I'm really talking about it. So sure. I'm
excited. Breaking
news. Out there.
Breaking news here.
Spring of 2023. So yeah, my practice is working, going into the person's homes and working with them to evaluate their drug therapy, understand it, communicate to their physicians problems, help them fix things at home that they can fix, but to really reduce medication-related problems. And in doing this for all these couple decades, I see the errors and the overwhelmed feeling people have when they're faced with all these medications, and they don't know where to go or who to turn to, and they're sitting at home struggling trying to manage these drugs. So I have had this dream, and now it's finally here, to put together a book to help engage and empower the consumer to understand their medications, to be an active part of their healthcare team, which I think it's so critical, and it's the stopgap we need until we can reform our healthcare system so that we are fully fluid in electronic communication across the board, no matter where the physicians reside, that we are communicating well with our patients, that the pharmacy and medical systems are integrated. We have so many cracks in our system, healthcare system right now. So the patient needs to be engaged. The patient needs to be the one to say, stop. Why am I taking this medicine? Do I need it? Is it helping? How long do I take it? How do I monitor that it's working or not? Because a lot of medicine that I've seen is inertia. It just keeps going and going. No problems right now. You're doing fine. We'll continue the medicines. No one stops to think, is it really helping?
Mm-hmm.
And could it be stopped or reduced?
I mean, people are scared to push back to folks in the medical field. And not just that, right? I mean, people are scared to ask questions of people in authority. And when you have the white coat on, that is a real power
symbol.
They're taking care of me
and you don't want to upset anybody. And things are changing though.
Yeah, do you see that is changing? I mean, I'm thinking of some of the younger generations that we've had talking, you know, and they're sort of pushing against authority and challenging and questioning. So do you think the perception that the medical community is sort of do you see that evolving?
I see consumers that are seeking out their own information, right? The thing about all this information on all that's available on the internet, Dr. Google, right? So we want to think we know more about our healthcare, and so we're kind of coming with these answers.
We're like
WebMD-ing
ourselves, right?
Exactly. And there's risk to that, so that's always something to I'm concerned
with. That's a whole different episode. Yeah.
Exactly. But the healthcare, the professionals today, I think there definitely is an interprofessional approach, a growth in the understanding that we have to work together as healthcare professionals, interdisciplinary, to provide good care. And I think there is the increased expectation understanding that patients are coming to the doctors a little bit more armed with information, be it good or bad. You have to be careful what's on the internet. So I think it's slowly evolving. So much has happened through COVID. I mean, what we've learned from the pandemic of the inequities in care and the cracks in our system.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're all just looking at it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm hoping more open to change, to seeing and for me, I feel so strongly about the patient needs to be an advocate for themselves and be part of that team and speak up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's evolving.
And that's really what your book is about.
It is, yeah.
So in the spring of 2023, you'll have to come back.
I'd love to.
Okay,
that
would be great.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully people who are listening are like, I understand why we're talking about this. But some people might need a little sharper of point on it. So seniors are a group that can struggle with substance use, either intentional or because of the mixing of the different medications they're on. One thing that I always find fascinating is alcohol use in older adults, but then also kind of how that interacts with medicine. And I don't think most people even know it. I mean, again, going back to my grandmother, she could have a wine spritzer, which was like mostly Sprite with a little wine, and she'd be done, right?
Sure.
But I would imagine that's a kind of a area with some landmines for folks that they don't even know that they're entering.
Yeah, and so alcohol is an interesting one with older adults because we're going to keep the same habits that we've had all our lives, right? So if someone's been having a drink every evening, they're going to continue that as they get older. And what happens with alcohol and aging, and it's the same with medication. So alcohol is a drug, right? So when I do my interviews,
it sure is.
You got to ask about that alcohol use. Our bodies handle it differently.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't metabolize it as fast. And because of the fat water composition of our bodies, the alcohol is more concentrated, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit goes a longer way. And older adults can get into trouble with alcohol. Mm-hmm. And then the drug interactions are huge.
Right.
We
because
be
alcohol
careful.
Is a depressant, so it slows right, the exactly. heart down and the breathing.
Absolutely, respirations. So we worry about it with certain medications. And older adults are struggling with anxiety and depression and pain, so they're on medications that can interact with alcohol.
So you mentioned pain. So, you know, I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention the O word, which
Absolutely.
Is opioids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fentanyl is definitely making the news. Fentanyl is medically prescribed, but there's mm-hmm. a whole host of other opioids that are being prescribed for pain management, right? And that, I'm imagining, can really also impact seniors in different ways.
Sure. So
it's like I feel like I just took the air out of the room because it's so heavy and complex.
It is. And you think about some statistics I was finding before talking with you is that roughly 30% of older adults have been prescribed at least one opioid medication.
What?
So it's out there, right? And we know it's risky. We know that it interacts with, like you said, with alcohol and other medications. If anyone's taking a benzodiazepine, something to help them sleep or for anxiety, we have new risk with a drug called gabapentin or pregabalin. These are drugs that can be used for nerve-related pain. And we're having medicine is always evolving. We learn about new drug interactions, things that we didn't know initially. So we have additive risks of the respiratory depression. But on the other hand, we don't have a lot to treat pain, right? We need to be careful of non-steroidal anti-inflammatories because it can affect the stomach and the heart.
We don't want to swing the pendulum.
Right. We have those concerns. Tylenol is fine, but it's very mild and too much can lead to liver problems. So then you come down to, maybe you need an opioid.
Mm-hmm.
What's the dose? For how long? How do we minimize the risks? Because this whole epidemic of becoming physically dependent is real. The addiction is another concern, but it's out there. And then, do we have naloxone available?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mom was prescribed a heavier opioid later in her life. I was on the gun. Let's get her some naloxone and make sure she has some at home. But that's rarely available or rarely taken up by older adults. It's just not talked about.
It's not talked about. And I think they're what you just talked about. I mean, it's one, having your mom understand why you're advocating for naloxone.
Mm-hmm.
But then number two, for you to understand why that would be necessary and really a vital part of her sort of care plan is having that available if in case something happened. Because when we talk about, you know, death, I mean, you're talking about intentional overdoses, but then also those unintentional overdoses that are happening because people are
they just don't know.
So I don't think this is your area of expertise, but I'm just curious. Are more seniors exploring more alternative methods or saying, I don't even want to go down that road? I mean, his dad has high blood pressure and went to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, we could put you on these medicines, but you're probably like, once you're on them, you're going to need to stay on them. And he said, well, okay, could I experiment with just diet and exercise? You know, the good old diet and exercise. And he's 73, I guess. And the doctor said, sure, let's give it a shot. And so now, like, I'm seeing him eating leafy greens, which I've never seen before. He, like, passed up the donut at church. Like,
don't laugh. He's my hero now.
I mean,
this is what people need to be doing, right? So when you asked about, for, like, pain medicines, you're asking about maybe alternative acupuncture or things like that, right? I don't know how much that's growing, but what's problematic in our healthcare system is we're not reimbursing for stuff like that.
Oh, for sure.
We're going to pay for the pill, and that's the way to go, right?
Yep.
So, and there is some benefit to mindfulness therapy, cognitive behavioral, I think. Acupuncture can help for certain pain situations. CBD, I bring that up very carefully, but some of the cannabis products, CBD, topical, certainly low risk of issues, of side effects or adverse effects.
So, okay, you say you bring up CBD. I got another story.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is actually isn't CBD. This is more just straight cannabis. So we have a supporter of ours who has moved to Florida and a couple of years ago. And she emailed and shared that at the golf course, a bunch of her new friends and golf buddies were talking about edibles. And they were sharing how, and these are people in their, I think, 80s, I think it's fair to say, late 70s, early 80s.
Yep.
And she said that they were sitting around the country club drinking wine, okay, talking about the edibles that they're now taking and all of the things that they're having happen to them. So one had like the shakes, one's heart was racing, okay. One just felt so loopy and crazy, you know. And the conversation was not, well, maybe I shouldn't do this. The conversation was, well, maybe I should just take half. Or maybe I should just maybe I should stop. One woman said, maybe I should stop taking this medicine and instead just do this. And she,
CBD, yeah.
She emailed me and she said, I feel like I'm like losing my mind. Like I just wanted to say to them, like, talk to your doctor or talk to somebody.
Rather than self figure
exactly.
out this problem, right? Yeah.
That has to be your case too, where you just kind of want to shake people and say like, this is
find
what
out
I went to school for.
Right. Find out the real information and know. And yeah, there's studies are coming out. Cannabis is going to, it's out there, right?
It's,
we're
going to
have the medical
there,
here
right.
and in Missouri. It's going to be, I'm sure, you know, freely available in the near future. I'm sure we'll make it legal. But we have to worry about cardiovascular effects, drug interactions. Any of the cannabis products have a gazillion interactions. So another message I'm going to have to work on getting out is make sure you ask questions. Talk to your pharmacist. Have them look up interactions. Use these drugs safely.
Mm-hmm. Advocate yeah. for yourself. Advocate,
yeah,
advocate, advocate. I am so grateful that you came today. I mean, we used to work on, like, tangentially, we worked on a grant years ago,
yeah.
Many moons ago, and it's been so great to reconnect. So thank you
yeah.
so much for joining today.
Thanks.
If you want to know about the book, more information
mm-hmm.
about the book, we're going to be able to link all of your information, your socials and everything.
Yep, let's do that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. A couple websites, so that'd be great.
Absolutely, and we want you to come back when your book is out and we can actually hold it up.
I would love that. I'm glad to share it with you live and for real. It's a dream of mine. So
congratulations.
Thank
it's
you
a really
very
big
much.
Deal.
Yeah.
It's a really big
I'm
deal.
I'm excited.
If you liked this conversation, please consider rating, reviewing, and subscribing to The Preventable. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thanks for joining us at The Preventable, brought to you ad-free by PreventEd. PreventEd works to reduce or prevent the harms of alcohol and other drug use through education, intervention, and advocacy. Please visit their website at PreventEd.org. Like what you heard? Rate, review, and subscribe to stay up to date with what we are serving on The Preventable.